Awesome. So, kids are dismissed at this time. We're going to be looking at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21 this morning. So while you're turning there, I feel like I should tell you something. This deals with church because I flew down to Colorado Springs this past week, and when I was in the airport in you know, Missoula, they're like, this happens every time. I get stereotyped the second people see me in an airport. You know, like, I even try to look dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll wear my hat like this, just so it looks like I'm a goofball that, you know, isn't intimidating. But for some reason, I don't know, they always find me intimidating. Maybe it's because I'm just a stud muffin, I don't know. But There were two metal detectors. One was like the, you know, you walk through, bing, and then they'd walk back through, and then all that kind of stuff. And then they had this other metal detector. It was like, it like did swirls around you, you know, to detect everything and basically showed your naked body on a screen, you know. And they're like, you have to go to this one. Everybody's going through this other one. And I'm like, oh, you got to go through this one. I was like, oh, okay, what's that? All right, whatever. And then they said, after I went through it, they're like, the security guy's like, sir, we're going to have to, you know, pat you down. Well, I'm like, do whatever you got to do, bro, you know? I'm like, I'm used to this. He's like, I'm going to have to pat you down because we got some explosive readings on your back and your buttocks. And I was like, whatever, man. He's like, I'll pat you down with the backs of my hands when I pat you down your buttocks. And I'm like, whatever. Do what you got to do. I just want you to know that you told me you had explosive readings by my buttocks. And I was thinking, he starts laughing like crazy. And I was thinking, Taco Tuesday is until tomorrow. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but it was a church event, so it has to be, right? Like, they couldn't handle themselves after that. They're just like, just go ahead, get out of here. It was kind of funny. Anyways, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 21. I think you'll, I hope that you'll find this as interesting as I do, if not more. He says, Paul says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, and to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. He goes on, he says, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. I'm going to many of you have heard the phrase, keeping up with the Joneses, right? And I think that producers of consumer products know this very well, right? They know this. They know that you want to keep up with the Joneses. They take advantage of it, right? How many of you have ever had a Dr. Pepper that isn't a Dr. Pepper, right? It's pretty crazy. There's like, what is there, 70 there, 60? Something, whatever. But there's a lot of them, right? 55, somebody did the math. They take advantage of the fact that people like to have what their neighbors have, right? Did you see the title of this sermon? I want you to keep this in mind. We compare our stuff with our neighbor's stuff, right? And we get this feeling that we don't have what they have. We look at motorcycles. And we think, man, I need one of those, you know? And then we get a Honda, you know? I like to call them Harley Davidsons. People with Hondas are like, you jerk, what are you talking about? Get out of here. But seriously, we look at these things like new cars or nice houses or even people. We look at somebody's handsome husband, right? Or a gorgeous wife. And we think in the back of our minds, why can't I have something like that? Whether it's a motorcycle, a car, or some lifestyles of the rich and famous with Robin Leach, right? Why can't I have something like that? And this is why we settle for replicas. Yeah, knockoffs. Why does it seem like we never get a break in life? We think, I'm always sick, or my car always needs work, or my house always needs that, my kids always need this. Why can I never get a break? Even the cat here in this picture is disappointed, right? He's like, cat food? I have to eat this? You want to live. But seriously, the Bible says here in verse 17 that God provides us with everything, He richly provides us with everything to enjoy. In verse 17. And like, some of us, we're thinking, yeah, my neighbor, he does that for my neighbor, but, you know? But I want you to think, like, you have probably some kind of transportation, even though it might not be up to the standards that you want it to be, right? Like, I want a Hummer, a first series Hummer, or like a G-Class Mercedes, right? But I have to settle for a GMC Sierra. Some of you are like, what? You're just, what the heck, man? Yeah. But anyways, it's a little bit of a humor there. But some of us, we think, you know, it's, we think of our homes. They're not in a good location. They're not what we want them to be. And we get like depressed when we think about how much more our neighbor has than us. But I think there's a point here. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. He's saying, you are still alive. In His infinite riches, God provides for us. And we sometimes think that God owes us something because we are Christians, right? Like, well, I think that life should be good now that I'm a Christian, right? And that's a common misconception. But the Bible here says that we are not to set our hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Do you hear that? As for the rich in this present age, basically everyone in America, charge them not to be prideful, nor set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches. There is no promise that you're going to be wealthy in this life, right? That's what the Bible's telling us. Millions of Christians die every year who leave nothing behind. If you've ever traveled to another country, you've definitely witnessed that. And Paul is addressing Timothy, saying to the Ephesians, those of you who have riches, remember not to be prideful. Don't act like you are the one who did this. And like, I think what he's saying there is that you can think all you want that you did well in your business. You're, you know, 50, 60, 70, 40 years old or whatever. And you think, look what I have become. You know? And I think that there's a danger in that. For one, you're not giving credit to God. Did you decide when you came out of the womb what you were going to do for a living? You see what I'm saying? Like, God directs our paths. God guides us. He put us here at this moment, in this place, right now. In Jeremiah 1:5, we can see this. I mean, like, he shows that God had plans for Jeremiah. I think this kind of shows us it reminds us to know who God is. Like, you didn't come out of the womb and decide what you were going to do with your life. You didn't decide you were going to be a farmer. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. If God knew what Jeremiah was made of before he was formed in the womb, do you think it was some big secret what you were going to become? See, that's what separates Christianity from a lot of other religions, is you have purpose. You have value. Your life has meaning. The Bible says in Acts 17, 24 through 27 that the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as if he needed anything, since he himself gives all to mankind, life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way like blind people toward him and find him. And the point is, it is God who put you where you are in the world and brought you up in the things that you now do, the influences that were in your life that caused you to become a police officer, a factory worker, a logger, a banker, a grocery store clerk, whatever. These influences were put in your life to push you in a certain specific direction. God has a plan for everyone here. And Paul is saying, O Timothy, don't let the elders of the Ephesian church be prideful. Tell them, remind them where they came from. The Lord decided what you were going to do even before you were born. If he did this with Jeremiah, why wouldn't he do it with us? I know the plans I have for you. So you have a very specific purpose in life. God works for the good of those who love him, right? Romans 8:28. You have a very specific purpose in your life. And I think that this is why people are so interesting. I want to find out what your purpose is. We're all blessed with different kinds of gifts. God knew what he was doing, and he knows what he is doing when he made you and while he sustains you. We don't always know why people fall into rough times and hardship. Look at Job, the book of Job. There was no one on earth like him. No one on earth like him. And a lot of us say, oh, I feel like Job, right? I got a splinter in my finger. You need to read the book of Job again. Seriously. There was no one on earth like him. Yet at the time he was at the bottom of the barrel, he didn't expect God to make him wealthy. And he always knew that God was in control. He knew his sovereign. He knew his sovereign Lord. He didn't put his hope in the wrong place. And this is what Paul is getting at here. In this little passage that we're reading, Paul is basically creating a question in Timothy's mind. And this question is your hope misplaced? Do you have a misplaced hope? Are you putting your hope in the future of your ship coming in? Do you hear this? Like I said before, we sometimes think now that we're a child of God, that means we get something, right? Something material. Life should be easy now that I'm a Christian. Are you putting your hope in the future of your ship coming in? Paul's saying to the Ephesian elders, don't count on it. Wealth is never certain. But do you know what is certain? gospel is certain, God's salvation through his Son. And this is why Paul tells Timothy in verse 20, O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Like when you take a big wad of cash to the bank, or like your change that you've saved, you've hoarded for, 10 years or something. You bring a wheelbarrow full of pennies in. People are looking at you funny because you look like you're carrying a bomb or something, right? Because you got this big wad of money or something. And you give them the fisheye, right? The fisheye, I grew up with fish mounts all over the wall, right? So, and I like, as a little kid, I was curious, like, how did they do this? You know, it's on the wall and I'd like look at it all over the place. And there was only one eye. Like, why isn't there two eyes? Like a fish has two eyes. But it was because one eye was towards the wall. So the taxidermist is like, well, I'm not going to put an eye here. It would be a waste of money. So there's one eye. It's like the fish eye. Right? That's what you do. When you're walking all this cash to the bank, you give people the fisheye. But really, you're just on extreme defensive attack mode because you're guarding the deposit. The deposit here in Paul's mind is the Word of God, the Gospel. He's telling Timothy to guard the truth of the Gospel. It is something that we are protect with that look in our eye. You see, the world is trying to put their hope in something else. We're bombarded with putting our hope in things other than God today, whether it's wealth or equality, right? Or crystal meth. We put our hope in other things. We idolize by putting things in our lives where that place is only meant for Jesus. And sometimes we even put our hope in other people, our spouse even, or our boyfriends or girlfriends or parents or cousins, whatever. But the reality is, these things will all fail you. They will all fail you. We guard the deposit because this is what we find hope in. Do you hear this? And this is the proper order of the church. It makes sense that a church about God, right? The body of Christ should put their hope in Christ. This is the blueprint for the church. Put your hope in Christ. Put your hope in Christ alone. Everything else will fail you. Jesus is that solid rock that we can build on. He knows what's best for you. And Paul charges Timothy, put your hope and trust in him. Not only guard the truth of the deposit, the gospel, the word of God, but remember it for yourselves. Remind yourselves, right? He died for you. He took your place, which was meant for you, in order that the wrath of God might be appeased. bring justice for the crime of your sins. Do you really understand that kind of love? Do you understand that kind of love? Do you know what that kind of love will bring you? It'll bring you hope beyond understanding. Peace that passes understanding. It comes from this hope. When you anchor your lives in Christ, I want you to think of generic Dr. Pepper, right? These things are designed to be replicas. Nothing more. Replicas. They copy the name as far as the law will allow them. Right? Dr. Thunder. Dr. Bob. Dr. Something. Whatever. They're designed to take the place of the real thing. They're not meant to be their own thing. Does that make sense? Don't settle for a cheap, unsatisfying replica of your source of hope, because it's just going to fail you in the end. Don't settle for something less than Jesus. I think it's appropriate for us to bow our heads together right now and take a moment to quiet ourselves before Him and thank Him what He did for us. Do that now. Make Him your anchor. He is that which we can set our hopes upon. Hope is in Him alone. Everything else fails us. Don't set your hopes in knowledge that contradicts the gospel. Setting your hopes in anything but Him is the same thing as replacing Him with something else. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your work on the cross, Your work of building a bridge between mankind, between sinful man and a perfect God, a holy God. God who is set apart. He is so different from us. Lord, help us to Help us to understand this love that you have for us. Your word says that you demonstrated your own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were in the act of sinning, Christ died for us. Lord, we pray that you help us to set our hopes on you and help us to protect this deposit, this understanding, this gospel. Lord, we give you honor and praise. We worship you. You are our anchor. You are the solid rock, Lord. Help us to learn to put our hope and trust in you. Help us to see that these things that we put in your place, Lord, that they fail us. We worship you. You are our rock. We thank you, Jesus, for doing what you've done, what you continue to do. You continue to sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Lord, we worship you. Forgive us for putting things in the place in our lives that only you deserve. Be our God. Thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.